Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Jen. I'm a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center and I get to be your host for the update today. So we have kind of an action-packed update, so we're going to keep us moving through. We're going to look a little bit more closely at a couple great new products that are available just in time for the holiday season, as well as featuring the upcoming New Year's retreat. So I'd like to introduce my first guest, who is June Shiver. June is the editor and illustrator of all of Sherry's books, which many people know. What you might not know is that June does a lot more than that behind the scenes. So people here who know what June does are nodding. It's enormous what June does to offer practice in all the various ways she does. So pretty much everything you do, email classes, new practice opportunities that come across your way, June has almost certainly had a hand in making it happen. So welcome, June.
Jen, I'm not seeing June here yet.
Oh, darn. Best laid plans, huh?
Yeah, I'm watching intently here, and I don't see her here yet.
Okay. All right. Well, never fear. We have another starting place.
Great.
So we'll put June's product on hold for a minute and go to another really great practice support. This is a fun, actually both the thing that June's going to talk about, as well as what our next two guests are going to speak to me are things that could be used for your own support and practice, as well as really great things that could be gifts for other people. So my next guest is Marie, who was actually with us last week, I think, on the Good News Update. Marie is our graphic designer, and again, I mean, everyone we introduce on the show, it's so clear how it takes everyone to create all of what we do. And so Maria is responsible for the beauty of every email that we put out. So everything that's been designed, you know, anything that has a look to it, Maria is responsible for making that look. And she's also the creator of the quote cards, which are now on Sangha Market. So I wondered, Marie, if you could tell us a little bit about the quote cards and what inspired you to create them.
Jen, I'm really excited about the cards and finally getting onto Sangha Market. And how that really started was when I came to practice. I was often really inspired by the amazing quotes that she, as our guide, would say, the things she would say, and I was writing them down on, you know, pieces of paper. And at some point, I started to type them up so I could print them. And then at some point, I made cards for myself. And I just always found the quotes really inspirational. And I kind of tucked them, you know, they're stuck around in my house, you know, in my kitchen window, all kinds of places. And at some point, I showed them the cards to Sherry and just asked her if there was some way we might be able to, you know, offer these to more people. And so when Sangha Market came about, we kind of decided it was a great time to do that. And one thing I want to say, I was just working on this project was amazing because I would proofread. And on the days I would sit and proofread those quotes, I would just feel fabulous and amazingly inspired. And when, as I was doing that, I realized these things are really great. And so we have 230 quotes, and so I've been, you know, I've used them for years, and I'm using the new set now because it's a lot larger than what I had before, and it just seems like for me, when I you know, I'll take out a quote and maybe work with that quote for the day, and somehow it seems like each quote applies to every day, you know, everything that goes on that day, and I can kind of see life through that. That quote.
I'm really glad I asked. I had never heard that story. That is really, really fun. And so, because the thing I did know is that when Sangha Market came about, you knew you wanted to do something to, you know, create a product. What would be some way you could participate in that way of supporting practice? That's really, really fun. And Janet, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Janet is a far-flung Sangha member, and we hear very inspired by the quote cards, yes?
Yeah, I'm very inspired by them. And I found out about the cards at the Connecticut retreat. And the cards were put out, and I saw them, and they're the size of little business cards.
Yeah.
And they have the little mobile meditator on them, and
yep.
they come in this fabulous wooden stand so that you can put the card in the stand.
Yeah, it's like a little, like a place setting holder. It's a beautiful little piece of
yeah.
wood with a little business card in it. Yeah.
I thought so anyway, I really wanted to participate to buy something on Sangha Market. And so I was so excited when I saw the cards. And then the thing is that once I got them, when I received them, they were just made with such incredible love.
Yeah.
I mean, they come in this beautiful, I don't know if I can say all this, but they come in this beautiful box, and they're just, it's just the most amazing present to
yeah.
myself. I bought it for myself, and
yeah.
I love them, and I have a discussion group weekly, and so I put them out, and people read them, and there are people who, a couple people who ended up signing up for the email class because I think they were so inspired from the little cards.
Oh, wow.
So they're like, wow, we want more of that, you know. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's so great, Janet. You know what it points to is that, you know, everywhere we put out practice, it builds practice. You know, everything could be someone's entry point to beginning the journey of ending suffering.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I would recommend it to anybody to buy the cards. And there's also a little other surprise in the box that I don't want to give away.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad you said that because I think I was going to give it away. So
I know.
I
thought of giving it away, but get the box and then you'll be really surprised.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm right with you. It was obviously put together with so much care and detail. Thanks,
yeah.
Janet.
Thank you.
So I understand we have June with us. June, I don't think we had you right at the start of the show, so you missed your fabulous introduction where we were just going on and on about the bazillion ways that you're behind the scenes making practice opportunities happen. So thanks for joining us.
Well,
welcome.
go ahead.
The reason we have you on today is that we wanted to ask you about the new flash drive that you and Sherry have created just in time for the holiday season. So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about that product.
Well, it's a 1 gigabyte flash drive that has our little logo. It's a little custom thing. It has our little logo on it.
Which, can I just pause, just quickly pause and say, that's actually so far my favorite thing about it, is that it's this little tiny flash drive, and it's got the website and the little monk on it, and it's adorable. I love it. But anyway, go on.
And one of the reasons we decided to offer this is because this year we have 3 new recordings. Often at the holiday season, we put out 1 new recording on a CD, but this year we have 3. And so to save resources,
yep.
we thought, gosh, in this day and age, almost everybody could use a flash drive. And certainly with a gigabyte, that's plenty for these new recordings. And we actually have 4 new recordings because we have just today, about 30 minutes ago,
all right,
finished recording the new book.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes,
wow, that's a huge accomplishment.
So I have to put a few final editing touches to it, and then everything else is done. And then all that's left to do is kind of drag and drop the recordings onto the flash drive.
Yeah.
Drop them in the mail to people.
Wow. I mean, that just represents hours and hours. I mean, countless days, weeks, what do you say, years of work. That's amazing. And what an offering it is to all of us, because that book obviously is being very, very powerful for people. And so to have it in a recorded form just seems, invaluable. It's amazing.
Well,
go ahead, June.
Well, you know, the best part about it is, for me, I get to listen to it over and over.
Yeah, it's like Marie proofing those quote cards, huh? You've got the benefit of doing the practice, and that's so the thing for all of us, is that everything we're offering to Sangha is an offering to ourselves, because it's all one thing. We're all Sangha.
Yeah.
Great. So, again, it's such a perfect thing to purchase as a gift for oneself, especially in this time when people often need extra support in the holiday season. It would also make an excellent gift for someone you know who is interested in Sherry's work.
Yeah, and, she, and let me add that these recordings are MP3s, so they can be used in almost any way. You can listen to them at your computer. You can burn them to a CD and listen to them in your car. You can download them to your iPod or other MP3 player. They're really versatile. They're really easy to work with.
Well, and then I remember you saying that once you, let's say I bought it and I downloaded them to my iPod or whatever it is, I then could would have an empty flash drive that I could use for whatever I wanted to use
right.
it for.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's quite amazing, really. Brilliant. Well, great. Thanks, June.
All right. Thank you.
And so, Michael, I fear we're out of time for our last topic, but if you'll just humor us for like 2 more minutes, I really want to give a chance. We've got 2 folks here who were ready to speak to what their favorite thing about the New Year's retreat is. And the reason we wanted to do that is that we recognize that we're right on the cusp where if there are people who are considering coming to the retreat, you know, they're going to have to hop on it, especially if they're going to get a plane ticket. So we really wanted to, anyone who's out there just on the edge, we wanted to give you a nudge that it's an extraordinary opportunity. There are still places in the retreat right now. It's a huge chance to be with Sangha. So I'm going to give first Penny and then Sequoia just a quick chance at telling us what their favorite thing is about the retreat.
Well, my favorite thing is that it's a big retreat. All the retreats, you know, have a great schedule, wonderful facilitation, beautiful locations, and wonderful Sangha. And what's really cool is to, you know, double and triple the number of people who normally can come. So it's an exponential effect to have more Sangha.
Such a great point. It's the only, that's why we use that venue. We can't possibly accommodate that many people in, say, the monastery or many other places that we use. It's really special that way.
And this is a fabulous retreat. From the first time I attended, I was hooked. And I think that the thing that I love most about it is the New Year's Eve and spending it with Sangha in the way that we do. It's just so beautiful. And to spend that time and to usher in the next year with Sangha, I just can't think of anything I can't think of anything better to do with a New Year's Eve. So it's the best.
It's funny how even though I knew we were going to talk about that, just hearing them talk about it makes me so excited. So that's really fun. And also to mention, I think it's really noteworthy that this is one of the few opportunities in the year where people have an individual guidance appointment with Sherry. And so that, to me, is worth the whole thing right there. So, sorry, Michael. Thank you for indulging us, and have an excellent show.
Oh, my pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thank you. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. How are you, Sherry?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm great.
I know we say this all the time, but don't you just love practice and Sangha?
I do.
You know, just listening to all of that, it's just, I just feel high as a little kite.
Yes. I was thinking I could go on listening to them for a while.
Oh, yeah. We could just kind of kick back here. And we'll all listen to good news. I bet there is plenty of good news to fill up an entire hour of show. Just
indeed.
Great things that people are doing, great possibilities that are available to us. Yeah.
You know what I got from listening to them? What came up for me actually was selfless service. The number of people in this practice who are working really, really hard.
Yes.
And really joyfully to
yes.
offer practice in all these incredibly creative ways.
Yes, yes. Just the thing about it is we could never afford to do what we do. you know, if we had to pay people to do what they do. But fortunately, we have a whole lot of people who are who give their lives to practice and make all of this available to all of us. And speaking of which, I want to acknowledge that I don't think that this has been acknowledged anywhere, that three of our monks are in route to Zambia right now. Actually, technically, I think they're sleeping right now in Johannesburg, getting ready to go in the middle of the night to Zambia. And so, again, such great examples of selfless service, just people, you know, going around the clock for to attempt to just offer the possibility of ending suffering wherever they have a chance to do that.
Yes. Powered by joy.
Powered by joy. Exactly. Yeah. That's very good. Oh, that's very good. That needs to be a bumper sticker, a t-shirt. I know June is over there jotting that down and coming up with ways to make that available to people somewhere.
Great. Great.
Good.
Jerry, I have some announcements here.
Mm-hmm.
You will be at East West Bookshop in Seattle on December 9th at 7 p.m.
True.
And then you'll be coming back to the Bay Area for a workshop at the Mountain View Zen Center. That's on Saturday, December 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's called Real Comfort. And I was wondering if you could tell us what real comfort is.
Well, yes, I can, as a matter of fact. Real comfort. So especially, we came up with that notion because of the holidays and how much information we get from social conditioning that says, do this, do this, do this, this will take care of you, and how much of what society offers us just really doesn't take care of us. It's stressful and harmful and not good for human beings. And so to find the real comfort that's available to us when we come back to ourselves, when we make choices that take care of us, body, mind, and spirit, when we move from the heart instead of conditioned mind. So that's what we're going to be talking about, how to be from the heart in this season. And I like to do that sort of thing because, you know, it's supposed to be a season of celebration and gratitude and peace and joy and all of those kinds of things. And as we've all noticed, it's gotten a little far out there on the side of commercialism and materialism and, you know, overeating and overdrinking and overspending and overdoing. And
yeah.
So to come back to what it's really about and what we're really looking for, what we hope to get from those promises that we rarely get from the promises, but we can make and keep the real promises to ourselves and find real comfort.
Great. Great. And then in the new year, you'll be presenting a workshop in San Diego on January 7th and 8th.
Actually, it's Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, even better.
Even
I mean,
better.
Not better, but better in that I was just in San Diego and now Santa Barbara, which is closer
Great.
For those of us here.
Great. And those details will be up on the website soon.
Yeah.
And then January 15th will be the next at-home working meditation retreat.
Right. Clean up from those holidays.
Yes.
Get
yes.
ready for spring.
Yes. And the last thing I want to mention is our new program of keeping our conversations to 5 or 10 minutes, which has been a major success, in my opinion.
Yes, I think it's been great.
Great, great. Okay, let's talk to some of these.
You know, if we could keep those good news people down. If we could dial them in on that. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joy.
Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hello.
I get to see you in just a few days, I think.
Yes. Let's see. About 10, 8.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
9, something like that.
Look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to get a different digital recorder because the one I have wasn't really working well for me as far as being able to play things continuously. Every time I added a new bit of recording to it, it would just be, 20 seconds, 40 seconds, and it would go beep. And so anyway, I wanted to get one that I could upload into my computer and do all that stuff. And so I went through that process today, and I got one, and it didn't work. And then I had to do the find another program to transfer it so it would play on my Macintosh and all these things. And I had moments of irritation with my plans not working out. And then, though, I got it all figured out, and I can now record into this thing, plug it into my computer, upload it, and play it on my iPod. And then,
life
is
good.
Yes. But the overwhelming message that I was getting was, oh, this is so frustrating, I'm just so upset, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then, it didn't last too long, but then it came up, I kind of got it. Gee, no, this is not frustrating, this is a good thing. It took me a while to get all the things I needed, but now I can actually use this tool the way I kind of think, the way it was more meant to be used, and I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah, I go back to, I'm pretty sure it was Sister Phil who said this. We were in a workshop, and she was saying how remarkable egocentric karmic conditioning is in that we can now get on an airplane and fly across the country in 5 or 6 hours, whatever it is, and people gripe because the flight is 20 minutes late.
Uh-huh.
Not that long ago in the big picture, if you were going to go to the other coast, you would plan on going for the rest of your life. You would never, ever get back to. So the way karmic conditioning frames things, always to be upping the ante. You know, there's still a way to suffer over this. I have a fabulous computer. I have a fabulous recorder. And aren't I suffering because I have to figure out how they work together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
But then you were talking about that, flying across the country. You had mentioned a while ago something. I was able to find it on YouTube. Everything's amazing and we're unhappy. Was
yes.
A little monologue. That was hysterical because people are using their cell phones, and it's a funny monologue.
Yes, and say the title of it again because I hope people.
Everything. I'm pretty sure it's something like everything's amazing and we're unhappy.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I'm gonna watch it again. I remember that being so good.
Yeah, that was a riot. And so, up to now I've been trying to use a recording, but it's been less exciting, and I get so motivated hearing all the callers the last couple of weeks talk about how fantastic this program is, and I can see how it would be. So I'm really excited to really get it up and running and using it, because I've got all kinds of things I haven't even recorded yet.
Yeah.
Everything from stuff I've written down from this show to poems to other things.
Yeah.
And so I also, since I'm on the air with the rest of the song, it always, at least for me, it helps to say things out loud in front of other people. So I'm going to call in next week. I think I can swing that, or if I can't get on, but I'm sure I will now. But anyway, I'll call in next week, and then I'll give a report back on how everything is going with the new and improved iPod plan.
Very good. And so June mentioned that, 45 minutes ago now, we recorded the last page of the new book. And as we were going through that section of the book on recording, I said to her, I'm going to do this because I've been using the recordings for a very, very long time. And, of course, I wrote that book. But I hadn't really put it together in the way that I did today, reading it from the point of view of of knowing the value of the recordings, and there were just so many great ideas in there of questions that I want to answer and just all kinds of things to launch into. And I thought, you know, so I combined that with another thought, which was I was driving somewhere, I guess it was yesterday, and I stopped to get gas, and I walked past the section of magazines and newspapers, and I thought, you know, all of my adult life, or since I've been doing practice, I've idealized being in foreign countries where I don't speak the language, because I have no idea what their culture is doing. You know, they could be just as crazy as we are, but it's all in a language I can't read or understand, so it doesn't affect me. And I thought, I have actually achieved that in my own country. You know, I live so in the world of practice, of where I want my attention to be on peace and joy and well-being and satisfaction, that whatever craziness is going on in the world that is so distressing to people, I don't even relate to it any longer.
Mm.
And it's a gloriously happy thing.
I can imagine that would be a gloriously happy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll be excited to hear how your new venture moves you toward that same experience of, yes, it's all going on, but if I don't attend to it, it's not going to affect me.
I'm excited, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good.
All righty.
See you in a few days.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Sherry. Bye, Michael.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining us. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Sherry, hi. This is Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
I'm so excited to get on and say hi to you and Michael and... and just thank you. That's what I called. I've called for the last couple of weeks and haven't gotten on. And my main reason for calling is just to say thank you for your Thanksgiving letter, for extending the email class, and just everything.
Well, you're so very welcome.
Yeah. Well, it just feels like our cup overfloweth.
It does, doesn't it? And the thing that I keep coming back to is it's so simple.
You know? But the voices certainly don't want us to, keep saying just the opposite, of course.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And yet, being a part of this practice, this Sangha, we certainly get that the only thing making it difficult is the voices.
Yeah, and certainly the more we practice and with the tapes and, well, all other elements of practice, we get to see it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's something I wanted to share because I just found this to be really helpful. Maybe it's already been said and I missed it, if others have shared it, but I use an iPod and I didn't want to buy another, you know, having a phone and iPod, I didn't want to get a third thing to record.
Right.
And I sort of accidentally, well, after a lot of work, found that you can actually get an earpiece that has a mic on it and record directly onto your iPod.
Ooh.
Yeah, and the people at Radio Shack didn't even know it. I mean, I went there and kept saying there must be a way to make this work. And my husband, you know, he checked out the site and he goes, tell them to look for this. And they said, no. And it's there, and I have it, and it works, and it just, I hope that's helpful to other folks.
So let me get this right. You have an iPod, a regular, not an iPhone, but a regular iPod.
A Nano, yeah. Whatever.
You have a Nano.
Yeah.
And you now have a Bluetooth?
No. It's just like the earpieces you would, you know, listen with. But attached to that is this tiny, tiny mic. And so you can record at any time. You just go to that, you go to the voicemail part of it. And that doesn't show up, interestingly, I don't know, this is all detail, but that doesn't show up on the menu until you plug in this particular device.
How
so it's a secret. It's a secret that they could be publicizing and selling a whole bunch of.
Yeah. Well, they're going to sell more now. I can promise you that.
Yeah, they're called earphones with remote and mic from Apple.
Wow.
So
I
it's just,
love
to
it.
Me, it was like a miracle.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Yeah.
So once again, it's a great time to be alive.
You
know,
yeah.
it's kind of like we have no excuse.
We have what?
We have no excuse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just kind of, it's all so, of course, as Chris was saying, you know, there is that putting it together curve because it seems like whatever it is that we want to do, there are all of these glitches in between, yes, it's possible, and yes, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But just about any way we want to work this, there's availability now to make it work. And
yeah.
So all we've got to do is do it.
Yeah, I think it's just the word that came to me was perseverance. It's
yeah.
just like, you know, just sticking with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and not listening to all the
sticking
the
with it and and coming through for yourself. You know, it
yeah.
it goes it seems to me it comes from an attitude of mind of there is no effort I won't make for you.
Yeah, and my experience of that has been that just overflows to everything else.
Yes.
You know, it can help. It can
yeah.
help do that.
What you feel, one feels so loved, accepted, embraced. There's so much receiving going
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It just overflows into a desire to be generous everywhere because we've been so given to.
Yeah, it truly is the case. And one last thing I wanted to mention is I just something that I've really appreciated from listening to the recordings, and it's something I've been practicing with, but I guess not a surprise. The recordings have just helped me go to this. It's just staying with body sensations,
uh-huh.
And somehow now the voice, the mentor, the whatever I'm listening to, just keeps bringing me back to that. It's like where my heart wants to be or knows to be, and the recordings have just helped facilitate that. It's been really
yes,
wonderful.
Yes, and I don't know if this is true, Jan. You can help me look at this and see. I suspect that our attention has been so on the voices,
mm-hmm.
The conditioned voices, that they just obliterate everything else. And now, with the attention on the encouragements to be here and present and to be in that expansive place of loving kindness, the body is available to us in a way that it hasn't been when all the attention is in the head.
Probably so. And it just seems to me that it's all, everything you mentioned, all the the love, the kindness, everything is held in the body somehow?
Yes.
It just
yes.
feels like every time I come back to it, so that I come back to my sense, that it's all there.
Yes.
And you're right. It's that quiet. It's that quiet place that holds it all. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know, this may sound overstated, but it seems quite miraculous to, because it is very simple. But the habit, like you pointed to, hasn't been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, is the master of distraction. So the more
yeah.
it can separate us from ourselves, the more we can be thrown into isolation fed a bunch of erroneous information, the better off it is, and sadly, the worse off we are. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyway, my just the thanks for the class, for the
well,
letter, for all. And
well, thank you.
Yeah. All right. See you
thank
in December.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Okay, let's try another one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, Sherry and Michael.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Grigsby from China.
I thought that was you. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine.
Good.
In general. Yeah, it's great to talk to you again.
Yes, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it has. Like a lot of people, conditioning just doesn't like me calling in. But I tricked it, I guess.
Well, yes.
I was really interested in what you said a little while ago about idealizing living in a foreign country where you can't know the language, because sometimes that's my experience here. It's a nice feeling being out there and not knowing what anybody is saying.
Yeah. Very relaxing.
Right. And then the communication becomes different, and I enjoy it.
Now, you've been there a long time. You must speak the language, but just not fluently?
Well, no. Actually, I speak very little. My focus is so much on teaching that I never have made much effort to learn the language. And all my students speak English, and my vocabulary in Chinese is really limited.
Uh-huh.
So I can do simple stuff.
Uh-huh. Kind of, as we say, restaurant language?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Well, hardly that. Yeah. So I've really benefited so much from all the internet opportunities that allow me to connect with your teaching and with Sangha.
Oh, good. Good.
Otherwise, I don't think I would be here. And being here has been, I stay here because it's, in part, it's a great practice opportunity for me. Being a teacher.
Oh, teaching your actual position there.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I don't have any. Everything that comes up for me, I find other people expressing it in the email class or on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one issue that's fairly persistent with me is the belief that I find myself believing that I should be doing more practice, that I'm not taking full advantage of this opportunity in my life to practice.
So you're in the current email class?
I am, yes.
And did you do the assignment about reviewing everything in your life that you have done to support awareness?
The current assignment?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
I haven't done it yet.
I think you're going to enjoy it, and the voices of conditioning will hate it because you'll get to see exactly how much you have done and how much you do currently to support your intention to wake up and end suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I see that I am working. I do make the effort, and I do practice. And yet, I also see that I could be doing a lot more.
Uh-huh.
So I feel sort of caught.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you want to do more?
Yes, I want to do more. But
okay.
when I've identified the quote, I looks at practice as like taking a sour medicine.
Yes. So isn't it interesting, once again, that the voice that beats you up for not doing more practice is the very same one that stops you from doing more practice.
Yeah. Let me digest that for a moment. The voice that beats me up is the voice that keeps me. Yeah, that's right. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you want to practice, it talks you out of it, distracts you, whatever, however it keeps you from doing it. And then when it's successful with that, it says you should be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful little system for it, of course, because it gets you on both sides. Right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
You lose on both sides of the equation.
That's right. Yeah. So one thing I just do more and more of is just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And I see more and more people saying the same thing in the UML class. And I'm doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you can be successful stopping it on either side. Either, no beatings, you're the one who talks me out of doing it, or I don't care what you say, I'm doing it anyway. You know,
mm-hmm.
either side of the continuum, you can break through it.
Right, right.
In fact,
yeah.
You know, it could be fun to do one side one time, the other side the next time. You know, you feel like, oh, I think I'd like to sit. And then the campaign begins and you just go, no, I'm sorry, I want to sit. It's my life. I get to sit. And then when it starts to beat you up, the next day for something you didn't do, just say, oh, no, we're not doing that anymore. We're not having any beatings about that. And then you could even launch into a whole thing about all of the practice things that you do until it loses interest and wants to focus on something else.
Well, I am deepening my practice just gradually, and it's exciting.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have times when I feel in the flow.
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling.
See, I would say that's exactly why it's trying to convince you that you're not doing enough.
Uh-huh.
It's
right.
Talking about that because you're doing more. And rather than doing more, feeling your practice deepening and really enjoying and appreciating that and having that lead to more, it tries to throw you off the track by making you think that you're not doing more or it's not deepening.
Yeah. I also think it has me defining practice in a very narrow way, too.
Uh-huh. So it's just when you're sitting.
Right. Right. And even when I'm sitting, it's saying, well, you're not doing it. right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, self-hate coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really glad to just connect with you and Sangha. And
well, yeah.
Thanks.
And it's good to just talk about it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, to say what's going on and to hear it kind of reflected back and get me to argue with it. Just to give you another point of view.
Yeah, I've noticed calling in how hyped up conditioning gets and the level of sensation in my body that translates as fear becomes, which is an extremely deep and old pattern in my life, it really gets activated, which is pretty good, I guess, for practice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you should call in more often, huh?
I think you're right.
Yeah, good. All right, well, it's great to hear your voice. I'm glad to know you're doing well over there.
I'm over here paying a lot of attention, so and taking advantage. So thank you again.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Good night. Or good night. Day, or whatever it
yeah.
is.
Good evening to you.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Grigsby. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Megan from Maryland.
Hey, Megan.
Hi.
How are you doing?
How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
What's going on in Maryland?
In Maryland, well, I'm in the email class, and I'm having wonderful experiences, and especially at work. Work has always been someplace that I've gotten a lot of beatings about you're not good enough and you're not smart enough and everybody's going to figure it out and always proving myself and all that. And I've dropped a lot of it, which makes work a wonderful place to be now.
Yeah.
Except for when I'm in conversation with people, like especially a business meeting or even just, you know, a one-on-one phone call around work, I just identify very quickly and I'm sort of gone.
You buy into what the voices are saying and kind of get
It's like I don't even hear the voices anymore. It's like it's just truth.
Uh-huh.
Like I don't even have any space to notice that there's that I could be making other choices or that it's almost like it's just animating me and I'm gone.
So let me ask you this. How long have you been at this job?
This job, 5 years.
And what kind of ning-nongs are you working with that they haven't noticed in 5 years that you're a complete incompetent?
I think I've convinced myself with most of the people that I'm dealing with that so I've made enough like silly mistakes around them that I'm probably not going to get fired, like the voices told me for the first 2 years.
Yeah. So there is a certain level of reality that you can refer to if necessary.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just needed to clarify that for myself.
It took a while to get there, but yes. It's more like when I'm... And it's probably true when I'm in social conversation as well. I just don't have – I mean, part of it is maybe the tools that I'm using now I can use when I'm just by myself. And I have asked for a vibrating watch for Christmas, so maybe that will help if I have sort of some vibrations going on every once in a while in the middle of a business meeting. But just any tips for when you're in conversation, when you're dealing with other people, still staying present.
Yeah, and so the recordings, obviously,
yes.
Right? So you want to record very specifically what it is that you want, what you're trying to accomplish, what you need to remember, and so that is more in your conscious awareness than all of the programming from conditioned mind.
Okay.
Right? So that's one part of it. And as I said, very specific, you know, when this happens, then this. And when, you know, for instance, when I walk into the room or when I pick up the phone or when I, these are the things, you know, I'm going to come back to myself. I'm going to practice focusing on the breath. I like to break things down into really small increments. So maybe the first thing that you try is to stay really consciously present and aware for the first two exchanges of a phone call.
Mm.
Okay. Or maybe you decide that what you're going to do is focus on when you leave in the conversation. Now,
okay.
I don't know if you've heard me suggest this, but this is one of my, excuse me just a sec. This is one of my favorite things to do. So you're on the phone, and I'm guessing you're in an office or something somewhere where nobody can see you. Is that true?
Yep. I can close the door, yeah.
Yeah, you got your own little space. So what you can do is actually create a recording that encourages you to stay present, okay, stay with the breath. You can be here. I don't know what your circumstances are, what you need to hear, but you do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there you are, and you're going to be on the phone, and you have an earbud in your ear that is just quietly reminding you, breathe, mm-hmm. come back to the breath, stay here, stay with yourself. You're doing great, okay? And then, with the other ear, of course, you're talking on the phone.
That's brilliant.
Now, you have to let me know how it goes, okay? I think it's just one of the greatest possibilities that we have going because, you know, people think, well, that would be awfully distracting. But the voice in the head is going on in exactly the way that only hateful.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I found that listening to the archives, before I started with the recording, I was doing the archives, and I started doing it at work, and rather than being distracting, the voices were silenced, and I could just do my work.
Yes. That's exactly it. That's what we're
yeah.
going for. Yeah. So to have that earbud, and, you know, once you, you know, you could do the little, now, I don't know if Awareness Junkie Man has put this product on the market yet, but I know he was working on a little behind the ear earbud thing, you know, kind of a Secret Service looking jobby that you can have in your ear that would do essentially what I just described.
Yes.
About only it's programmed for like once a minute, and I would get him to do one for me that was pretty much constant. So that's just in there. And then, you know, you can be out in social situations or whatever. If somebody asks you about it, you know, you can say, oh, well, it's, you know, I have this condition, and that little microphone in there or that little speaker in there is keeping the brain waves stable.
Well, so many people just have their cell phone Bluetooth or whatever on all the time anyway.
Yeah. So you could probably get away with it just in any kind of a social situation or whatever. And it's just reminding you everything you need to know, everything you need to hear.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Now you're going to report back, right?
I will call back. It's a big deal that I call tonight, my first time. So.
Oh, very good. Well, great to have you with us. But we all need a report on that because I can promise you there are a ton of people listening to this who go, oh, I could never do that. So if we find out from you that it works really well, then people will be heartened and encouraged to do it.
Well, now I have to call.
Exactly. I was trying to manipulate you into that conclusion.
Thank you. Thanks to both of you.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Megan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Lisa in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great.
What's going on?
Well, lots is going on. I wanted to call in to talk a little bit about the email class and the recording.
Good.
Yeah. So the first thing is, so my confession is that I signed up for the email class, and the email class started, and some things were going on with my work life and my personal life, but that's really not what was really happening. Conditioning was kind of coming in and deciding what was going to happen. And so as a result, the emails would come, and I didn't participate in the class. In fact, when the emails would come, I would even just kind of glance at them and then skip right over it to go to the next email. And I just didn't participate in the class. And then the very last week of the class, kind of in the middle of being caught up in this story about me not having time, and, you know, I have all these really serious things going on, and I can't be, you know, doing this email class. Like, the
can't
very
be doing practice
almost,
for heaven's
right.
sake. And life
right. And
so,
the whole time, yeah, the whole time the lie is I'm doing practice. Like, I'm doing all these other things, but I can't do the email class. That's just not, you know, that can't happen. That can't happen.
Uh-huh.
And it was so interesting. And then something happened where it was like the misery of this goofy story that I was getting about how bad things were for me. And then my husband and I just happened to be watching this TV show that we would normally maybe probably not watch. And it was this CNN Heroes Awards. And they were having on these incredible people. Like, we turned it on almost by accident, and then we couldn't stop watching it. There was a young man from Kenya who figured out how to make lamps with LED lights and solar power so that kids in Kenya could have light sources in their houses that were safe and weren't kerosene and things like that. And he had made, like, I can't remember, but just hundreds of them. And that's what his kind of cause was. And then a woman came out from Nepal, and she's very involved in saving young girls from this horrible trafficking of humans that is happening in the world. And just every person's story was just so amazing. And something kind of snapped in my head of, like, these are people, first of all, who are doing amazing things. Then they are helping people who, I don't know, like, it was almost like a wake-up call. Conditioning had me in this thing of, like, oh, I've got all these problems, you know? And it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm fine. Everything is fine. Oh, my God, these people have real things going on, you know? And, you know, I mean, that, you know, things in my life, yeah, things happen, but, oh, my goodness, you know, these, you know, people who live on less than 50 cents a day or something like that. I mean, it was a real wake-up call to, like, yeah. Oh, my goodness, someone's really indulging a lot of self-pity and just kind of a weird self-hate kind of a cycle.
Loneliness.
Yeah, and so then in the middle of that, I was like, I'm going to do the email class. I don't know, something just kind of snapped, and I just was like, wait, what am I talking about? You know, what? You know, and so then I got really busy, and I started working through the classes, and I just sat down and got out my recorder and started doing them, and at first it was really hard. And then one of your classes had a suggestion in it where if it's hard for you to make the recording, talk about that on your recording. And I thought to myself, well, that can't be doing it right. She's got the instructions wrong. Like, why would I get on the recording and talk about how I'm having a hard time making the recording? And then that was the first recording I made, and it was like that opened the floodgate. And then I could do the other assignments, like, and then I couldn't stop doing the assignments. And then I got so excited that I went and found a belt clip so that I could wear it at work today. And then I came home and I ordered the on Sangha Market. I found they have these bags, and you can wear the like a carrier around your neck for the recorder. Mm-hmm. And I bought one of those because I just got like instantly almost addicted to the recordings and listening to them. And I don't know, the shift was just was really amazing.
And it's easy to see why there was so much resistance, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes, because conditioning was keeping me away. And I said this, I was great because I said this on my recording, which I think is very helpful. I need to remember this. Conditioning really tries to keep me away, especially from that. The one thing that it tells me I cannot do is, I've figured out, is the thing that I definitely want to do, you know, what I need to do.
Yeah,
to take care of myself.
Yeah.
Conditioning tries to isolate me. Conditioning convinces me not to communicate with other people. Conditioning convinces me that I'm separate from everyone and that I have to kind of keep myself in a corner when things are happening. And it's completely the opposite. I mean, it's just completely the opposite.
And isn't it interesting that now, it, you know, people who don't understand how this all works could say, well, you're still isolated, for God's sake. You're talking to yourself. You know, you're talking into a recorder and listening to yourself. You know, that's
right.
Pretty alone. But you're not. Right? You're not.
No, but it's not. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, it's, and so some of the things were just, what I realized was, and like, so, you know, seeing those people on television, you know, it kind of broke my heart open, you know, because it was
sure.
I projected that they were beautiful, you know? I mean, they would get up and they would speak about what they were doing and how grateful they were. And it was just the most beautiful thing. And I get it that, you know, I'm projecting that. I have an experience of that. And so when I was making the recording, the one that was really great was the love letter, you know? And at first I was like, oh, my God, I definitely do not want to say a love letter to myself on the recorder. That just sounds, you know, talk about being alone. Like, that just sounds odd or something. You know, that was conditioning
pathetic.
Response. You know, good Lord, I hope no one ever listens to this recorder. You know, it just seemed, conditioning felt like it was indulgent. It was wacky. It was, you know, just the corniest thing or whatever. That was what conditioning had to say about it. And when I started doing it, I got on a roll, and I just kind of kept going, and I did what the class suggested, where I saw myself at different ages, and then and I just got really into it. And then I listened back to it, and I have to say, it didn't matter that it was me. Like, it was just so funny. It was just like, gosh, these are the things I love about myself, and someone is saying it to me, and it didn't matter that it was me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, because, of course, it's a different you, isn't it? The one who can say it, the one who can see it and appreciate all of that is very different from the one who has been waiting a lifetime to hear it.
Yes. It's fascinating. It really is like another person in there. I mean, I was listening to it, and it was amazing because I listened to it a few times, and one time I listened to it and I went, oh my God, that's everything I loved about my dog.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, you're enthusiastic, you're sweet, you like to have fun. And I was just like, that's my dog. And those are all the things I loved about my dog. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I listened to it again.
No wonder you loved her so much.
Right. And then I listened again and it was like, that's everything I love about my husband. And then I listened again. I'm like, that's everything I loved about my grandfather. That's everything I love about, you know, all of these people in my life. And it was just like, oh my God, but that's me. You know, I'm talking about me. And it was such an amazing, so today I was at work and every time I would get done, I listened to the recording many times during the day, and I plan to, like, I have time to eat at my desk, and I just listen to it at, you know, when I'm having lunch, I listen to it when I'm working on emails. And every time I would get done listening to it and go out into the hallway, and then just the world just, you know, they just eat me up at work. They all run toward me and have things to say, and it's just kind of the nature of my job. I just felt gentle and kind with everyone. It was just, it was pretty amazing. I mean, it was just transformative. And it wasn't anything flashy or weird. It was just very, everything got very simple. Everything was just like, oh, this isn't complicated. This is simple. I'm here to help you, and I'm a good person, and you're a good person. And it was just, everything was easy, you know?
When you said that about walking out in the hall, I thought, I just had this image of wanting to be a love letter for everyone you encounter. You know, an energetic love letter.
Yeah. And it's true. Like, that was really available. And that's often not available at my job, you know? It's like, and it was just incredible. Like, I could talk to people, and I did. You're right. It really was like, oh, wow, and I love you, you know? And, like, by the way, I love me too. Like, you know? It's okay. And neither, some of these people are difficult. Some of them, you know, have difficult problems. You know, there's a lot going on. And it was just, I don't know. It was really pretty amazing that this shift occurred. And it really was, because often the thing that I'll say is, I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not taking care of myself. And it's so simple to listen to those recordings. And when I'm done, it's better. It feels like, you know, what I look for when I go get the massage, or when I go, you know, sit in the bath, or when I, whatever. It's that feeling, but so more profound. You know?
Yes, like, and it really opens the doorway to all those other things, doesn't it? It's like, so often people in, admittedly, very busy lives, you know, there isn't time to take care of you. There isn't really time to cook the kind of meal that your body needs, or to go to the grocery store and get the stuff to cook the meal. That, and yet, once we start living in loving kindness instead of in the hatefulness of egocentric karmic conditioning, there is more time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not doing the things that the conditioned mind distracts us into, with a promise that this is going to do something for you that you want. You know, we get it that, no, actually, I just want to feel like this. I know how to feel the way I want to feel. So
mm-hmm.
I don't need to go somewhere or do something else. So, you know, if you know that what you want to do is listen to those recordings, then why not in the bathtub?
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Right, as long as it's not plugged into the wall.
Yes, one of those times.
Right. Well, yeah, and you know, it's interesting you say that. So when I came home from work and I walked into the house, and, you know, no one's home yet, I'm alone, and there's, you know, I can do a million things when I walk into the house. I could, you know, get on the internet, I could look at the TV, I could start cooking dinner, I can, all these kind of things. And I'd already decided when I walked in I was going to listen to the recording. So I'd already made that decision before I got home. And I walked in, and there was the voices going, oh, well, you know, you're really not going to listen to those now. I mean, you listened to them all day. Like, that was enough, really. And now you should do this and this and this, and you should really see if, you know, this is happening, and, you know, go in the kitchen, check your email, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, and in that moment, I just was like, no, I want to feel how I felt today. I'm getting out the recorder, and thank you, voices, but I'm not listening to you right now. You know, I'm going to do this. So, and before I could even get into an argument with the voices, I just grabbed the recorder and shoved the earbuds in my ears and hit play, and I didn't even know what part of the tape I was at.
Right.
And as soon as I started, I was like, okay, yeah. And then I listened through it, you know, a couple of times. And I thought that was amazing. Like, so here I am having this great day. I come home and conditioning is right there to be like, okay, but now you're done with that.
You listen to that. You listen to it all day. That's enough. You need to do something different now. It's like,
Yeah, something that's really going to be fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, weren't you there today? It was a great day, you know. Like, what's more fun than that? Like, you know.
Well, and that's a good point, right? It wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's so funny, isn't it? It's like, yeah, but now you got to feed me, you know? I'm starving over here, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't feed me today. We didn't hate anybody today. We didn't get angry. We didn't judge anybody. You didn't judge yourself. You didn't get, you know, whatever. So you've got to feed me. You better create some,
we
you know,
need
their
negativity
karmic
here.
Conditioning. Yeah, right, yeah. And it was like, no, we're not doing this. You know, we're not doing this. And it is freeing. You're right. Wow, it's so incredible how it wants to, you know, it wants to be in control, and it's just, it doesn't get a chance to if I fill it up with the other stuff.
Yeah, and that's such a helpful image, I hope, for everybody. The, you know, it's there. You need to feed me now. I need to eat. I'm a hungry ghost. I got this great big belly of dissatisfaction, and you need to give me some stuff to put in it.
Yeah. And it was very gentle. It was like, okay, well, you can sit with me, but I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? You know, I don't hate you or anything. That's fine. I know who you are. I know where you come from. I know what you're about. You know, I know why you're here, and I'm not doing that. You know, and that's it. So I just, you know, just thank you for the 100th time probably, but thank you so much for the class and for the recordings and for the new book and for everybody who participated in the class. You know, I'm still reading, you know, going and doing my back homework and reading everyone's responses.
Good.
And,
you going with us through December?
Yes, I am. I signed up and I printed out my little chart. And
all right. Me too.
And,
I'm good
on
the 29th and the 30th. So for those who went to class, you have no idea what we're talking about, but it's a lot of fun, and don't miss the next class.
But anyway, just thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Lisa. Good to hear your voice.
Take care. To hear you, too. Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that's all we ask for is a complete transformation.
Exactly, for ourselves and everyone else.
Yes.
Dropping all of that ugly hatefulness that had us and stepping clear into a life of peace, joy, expansiveness, well-being, generosity, kindness. That's all we ask.
It's a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
Good night.
Good night.